Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, fellow gamers, and welcome to the Video Gamers Podcast. Today we are covering recent gaming news that took place over the last week. I am your host, Paul. I am here, as always, with my two gamers in crime. First up, he's had a hankering to jump back in the ocean, start stabbing some sharks with a spear. It's Josh.
Funny story, I used to work on fishing boats, and that story is not too far from the truth.
Did you stab a shark with
Never
a spear,
stabbed
Josh?
A shark, but I did. We did have a shark that got caught in the net, and then it got deposited on the deck of the boat where all of us were. And this shark started thrashing around like you could not imagine. And it was like the scariest game of hot potato you've ever seen. Cause like this shark would start flopping one way and then like the fishermen would just scatter, but then it'd start flopping the other way. And then people over there would scatter. And then finally we got it overboard. But yeah, true story.
Did you ever free Willy?
Yeah. Well, we,
jump, Free Willy! Jump! Jump with all your might!
Yeah, we got that thing out of there.
All right, and then joining Josh and me, he has already made a paper chain to track the number of days until Elder Scrolls 6 releases. It's Ryan.
Just the music, even though it was from 2018, my body is so ready.
Oh, I love that you just love queuing up the five-year-old announcement trailer of Elder Scrolls 6. I love it. It's great.
We're almost there, people. We're almost there.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, for our listeners out there, you can find us on socials everywhere at Video Gamers Pod. Make sure to hit the follow button, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, and rate our show 5 stars. You can also support what we do through Patreon, which starts at $5 a month. You'll get some amazing perks at all the tiers. You'll get a shout out on the show. You'll get bonus episodes, and you can go check it out at multiplayersquad.com. All right. So obviously the biggest news of the week is that Starfield has released, although we are not going to talk about that on this episode. We released an episode on Monday, which was our review of Starfield. So if you want to hear us talk about it, just go ahead and go back to the previous episode and you can hear all our thoughts there. All right. Next biggest story of the week, a little bit of a downgrade from Starfield, if we're being honest. Wah-wah. But I think the next most important story is that Super Mario Brothers Wonder had a direct, which showed about 20 minutes of footage, and they narrated, told us an awful lot about the upcoming game. It is scheduled for release on October 20th, so it's not far away at all. I know I'm a little bit alone on Pro Switch Island here out of the three of us. I know I'm the most pro Nintendo.
Who's the least Nintendo, Paul? If you had to pick between me and Ryan, that's a tough.
I think it's probably Ryan.
Really? Okay. I mean, the Ryan that loves, you know, Tears of the Kingdom now. That Ryan?
Like 98% of gamers.
Hold on. You're using love really loosely there. That
Ryan's
is not
like,
a word
up,
I would
up,
say.
Wait a minute.
Beep beep beep. Rewind. Let's go back. Replay the track. I wouldn't say love.
All right. I believe Ryan said, I have been having some fun. I believe that's all right, the quote in Tears of the Kingdom.
Until my son lost all of our gameplay and I had to do all of these things again. So then I was like, oh, this game.
The hunt for the Master Sword just keeps eluding you.
Keeps eluding me.
Yeah. Well, fair to say, whenever there's a flagship Mario release, we got to at least talk about it. So I'm a little curious to hear from you guys, because I know the last time we talked about Mario, I said I always play all the major releases. You guys both said it had been a while since you played your last Mario game. So I'm curious to hear, but what are some of your guys' takeaways after watching this Direct?
I will say that you guys know how I feel about like the Switch and casual gaming and stuff like that. For me, watching this video of Mario Wonder, like I saw it in the beginning and I was like, oh, cool, a new Mario. This game looks fantastic, dude. Like, I will 100% pick up Mario Wonder and play this game. So maybe this is the first Mario deep dive for the show. Like, you know,
I think it should be probably.
It's multiplayer too, man.
Let's yeah. do you it. Know,
which sounds great.
We can do
great.
Some races.
So, yeah, I pick on the Switch, but the Switch has some amazing games on it. So part of that is just me doing it for fun a little bit. Some of it is just a lot of the Switch games are not my like preferred style of gaming. But Mario Wonder, man, this game looks really good. And I love that they kind of went into some of the aspects of the game now instead of just showing like a minute and a half gameplay trailer. They really did kind of dig in a little bit. They talked about the multiplayer aspect and they kind of talked about the angle that they're going for and some of the cool things that you can do and what makes Wonder stand out a little bit from like some of the other Mario games. So for me, this is already like a must buy game for me.
Oh, wow.
Must buy, huh?
A must buy. Well, also, Ooh. My wife said that if we don't get it, she'll kill me. So okay. that helps too, because she loves Mario. So
so you're under duress.
Yes.
Got it. Yeah, I would say I really love the direction they've been taking with Mario. Like, Bowser's Fury was incredibly fun. I hope we get to see more Mario content like that. I think Mario Wonder definitely is like a little bit more advanced than any of the other Marios we've seen. Between all the different power-ups, all the stuff with the Wonder Flowers, I think some of this stuff looks really interesting. Some stuff not quite as much, but overall, I love the direction. Ryan, do you have any inclination to play this at this point?
I will say, I want to explain myself here. I have a guilty pleasure that you guys may not know about. I really enjoy watching these guys on Instagram and YouTube play those Mario Maker levels, like where they're these just ridiculous levels, and these guys, they hold the controllers weird and they're doing all these crazy things. It sends my anxiety through the roof watching them play, and I'm like, the whole time. And so it's a guilty pleasure. I love watching it. That's the extent of my Mario embrace lately. But watching these trailers, seeing this game, seeing what it entails, especially if we can play together, I'm kind of actually excited. So if it's something that we can play, I can play with my family. It actually looks pretty cool. I do love Mario. I love old school Mario. Grew up with it. So I am thinking I may get it as well.
Okay. Very, very, very interesting to hear that. So a couple things here. First of all, they already had told us that you can play as a bunch of different characters. I was kind of hoping that they would all function a little bit differently, kind of like back with Mario 2 on the NES. We did learn from this video that whether you play as Mario, Luigi, Peach, Daisy, Toadette, Blue Toad, or Yellow Toad, they all operate exactly the same. It's just cosmetic, the difference between them all. However, you can play two beginner characters. You can either play as Nabbit or Yoshi. Basically, it means you're invulnerable to anything in the game as long as you don't fall off a ledge. So I will say I was slightly disappointed by that, but it is fun to be able to switch between the different characters.
I don't know why they won't go back to the characters having unique abilities. Like, what? Mm-hmm. It's so great. It can't be that hard to program. Right? Like,
well,
and it made such a nice difference to the game, because then you're like, no, dude, Princess Peach is my character. You know, I need that float, man. I need that float ability, mm-hmm. you know, or something like that. So I don't know why they're so like being sticklers with the whole, like, let them be slight. They weren't drastically different. Like, these weren't game changing abilities, but give me some flavor.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons why is maybe the fact that they did say you can challenge your friends to do races, and maybe there's like world leaders and stuff. So maybe it's a matter of balancing where they don't want people to pick a character because it's the meta or something. That's the only thing I can really guess. But I do like the fact that they have multiple characters. And then, of course, what sets every Mario game apart from all the others are the power-ups. And so this game is really taking a right turn with a lot of these power-ups. The turning into an elephant, I still think, is absolutely hysterical. And they showed a lot more info about this. So not only can you run around as a massive elephant, you can hear every step as you're running around on the level, but you can swing your trunk and actually hit projectiles in the air. So if there's like a little spiky turtle that falls off the roof right above you, you can smack it with your trunk and knock it into something else. They also mentioned that you can soak up water in your trunk and hold it. And other areas of the map, you can actually water plants, and then it might spawn like a vine that you can climb up to a hidden area. And when you start adding stuff like that with the power-ups, I think that's where the game starts to really look interesting.
Yeah, I there's a lot I really like about this game. I like, oddly enough, the graphics, I think, are like a nice step up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what they're doing with it, but it's like they actually look like more three-dimensional. The animations are really good. Like when you're running and you stop, like Mario kind of like waves his hands in the air, kind of, you know, like he's trying to stop Ralph. Like it's just the little touches to me that say this is the next gen Mario. Like, you know, they've used the same formula for a while, whether it's the 2D platformers or the 3D adventure ones, like those things. This looks like a neat step up for me. The thing that really got my attention on this is like some of the craziness that happens. Like they showed, especially in multiplayer, where like there was a herd of yaks on one level.
Yes.
And like they randomly, like, and I guess this is not like a given thing, but they like will randomly stampede. And then they come just this wave of yaks off the side of the screen, and then you can ride on them like all the way to the end. But then they like knock over the flagpole and stuff too. And then there was another one where the guy was talking about they got launched into the sky riding either balloons or like they were like piranha fish or something. So all of a sudden this level becomes this like vertical level where you're just going up and trying to dodge things and collect coins. And it's like, it's almost like they're turning some of the levels into mini games. Love, dude. Give me that variety. Give me that unknown factor. Like, especially if you're playing multiplayer with friends, that's the kind of stuff that stands out to people.
Yeah. There's a reason these other games that, you know, are a lot smaller developers and stuff that are just these small mini games that take off so well. Like, if they can do that, I understand the hesitance and how hard it is for these people, how scary it would be to mess with the core that is Mario. You know, you can't do too much to alter it, otherwise you're just going to get, you know, hellfire from everyone. So to do those subtle changes and to make it more fun and make it a little bit of a change with still keeping that balance and that essence that is Mario, I know it's got to be hard for them and hard for the developers. So I like what I saw. I thought it was really neat and really cool, and so I'm down to play with you guys for sure.
down to clown,
baby.
Last thing I'll mention about it is that the Wonder Flower is what brings a lot of these really crazy things to Mario. So a couple other things that they showed is where it might just totally tilt the screen like a full like 45 degrees. So that's going to completely change how you run through some of the levels. Sometimes it even showed that it might turn Mario into a Goomba. I mean, I don't know if that means you can't like jump and do all the same stuff. Like, I don't know what that really means. But maybe the coolest part, and this is very hard to describe without seeing it in video, one of the things that a Wonder Flower might do is when you get it, it changes the perspective. So you're so used to seeing Mario 2D, where Mario is just running from left to right, right? And Mario's facing sideways. This changes it where all of a sudden Mario, it's almost like his feet are sticking into the screen and it's a bird's eye view of him, but the level itself stays the same. So all the enemies are still like two-dimensional that way. And it's now like you're controlling Mario from a bird's eye view where normally he would like fall down, but instead it's like his feet are stuck into the screen with gravity boots. It's kind of goofy, but I'm really curious to see how they play with it.
Yeah, I like all the stuff that they're doing on this, man. Honestly, like, I'm pretty excited for this game. I know my wife is super excited. Like, I can't remember the last time I was really excited for a Mario game. I mean, I like all of them. I played almost all of them. This is not to slander Mario. I'm just saying, like, I don't know that I've ever been, like, hyped for one. You know, like Wonder is drawing my attention.
Yeah, it's definitely high on my anticipation list. So I hope that we'll get a chance to play it.
We didn't even talk about the fact that they have badges, which are like badges, a skill tree in this game. Like, yes, man, keep giving me the flavor. Like, stuff, man.
What's backgrounds? That?
Yeah, you can unlock all these different badges, and you can only activate one at a time, but they'll give you different power-ups. Like, one enables wall jumping, another one lets you charge up your jump, which, again, is a callback to Mario 2. Oh, you press and hold down, and then you start flashing, and you can jump high. You know, stuff like that seems really neat to me, so I'm really curious to see what they do with badges, and I think that's also going to keep gameplay fresh.
That's good. And then anyone, before Paul carries on, because I know he doesn't want to hear this, Paul has an amazing Mario impersonation there. So, anyone who hasn't listened to the Squadcast, you guys missed out. But Paul's got a killer Mario, just so you know.
Do I, Ryan?
Yes, it's so good. Oh, boy.
Might even hear Mario
somehow beat you out.
Introduce the show at some point.
Oh, boy. Try to do that without sounding stereotypical with Italians. It's a tall order. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take our break, and we'll be right back.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
All right, we have returned. Next up, this might be my favorite story of the week. I love talking about The Day Before. All right, so Josh, you and I have talked about this game a lot ever since it got announced. It was revealed 2 years ago. This game has been such a roller coaster. We got this announcement trailer that looked really good. Josh, you and I even kind of trolled it and said it looks too good. Yep. We think everything in this trailer is highly scripted. I specifically said this has a huge whiff of we're faking it for the trailer. We don't even really have a game yet. And I said that I was cautiously optimistic because it looked so good. This was the most wishlisted game ever on Steam when it was first announced. Like, that's how much people were into it. It's a zombie MMO. It's a post-apocalyptic America. So far, so good, right? Sounds awesome. Then over time, this has just turned into the weirdest story. So they are an indie studio, and it turns out they are relying largely on unpaid volunteers to make this game, which should really worry anybody.
We call those interns in the biz, Paul.
Yeah. Unpaid interns. And then they also came out and said that they switched engines. There were multiple delays. They ripped out features. We got new footage, which was just people walking around. Like, bad. They literally weren't even doing anything.
No, there was just some a walking gunplay, simulator. But remember, the gunplay was garbage. It was like shoot a zombie, and then 3 seconds later, the zombie starts shuffling at you.
Oh, gosh.
And it was abysmal.
Then we learned that they forgot to trademark the name, if you remember. Oops. So, like, that was another delay. Now it turns out that they might be changing the name of the game. And it's supposed to release in 2 months, Josh. I mean, this game's been delayed so many times already, and I can't believe that they're now considering a name change. It looks like they filed to trademark the name, Dayworld?
Dayworld.
But as everyone points out, just Google Dayworld. It's already the name of a book series.
Yeah.
So people are like, I don't even know if they can call this game Dayworld either.
Games, you know.
Yeah. What's going on with this? Dude. This went from like the most anticipated game ever to literally a laughing stock in such a short amount of time. I can't believe it.
These poor developers. I mean, there's a part of me that's like they brought it on themselves, so they kind of deserve it. But I also don't want anybody to go through like, you know, this sucks for them at the same time. So this has just been news story after news story, and none of them are good. I do remember when we covered the actual gameplay reveal, and we were like, woof, man, this is not a good-looking game. This is... Part of this is, like, don't make a trailer that looks like one thing if your game is something else. Like, honestly, we've all seen it. You're scrolling on social media, and you see the game where it's, like, it's got the little rods things, and you're trying to free the princess.
Oh, yeah,
and, you
the
know, and yeah, and yeah, you're trying to pull the, and then you're like, well, that game looks neat. So then you go to download it. It's nothing like that. Literally nothing is the same. And you're like,
it's a Candy Crush clone.
Yeah, like, why did you give me this trailer and give me a completely different game? And I feel like that's kind of what The Day Before has done. And it's like, well, we got zombies. And it's like, yeah, okay, you got zombies. They don't do anything. No, you can shoot them. Yeah, but they don't do anything.
We got zombies.
Yeah. This game is a mess. Dayworld is a terrible name, by the way. I don't even know. They just felt like they had to have the name, the word day in there, because it was the day before, and now it's like Dayworld. And this game would have to come out and just blow everybody away for this to be like a success story, and I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, typically where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
With the way this has happened and the just the continual issues and this name change within months before the game's supposed to release, and then they have unpaid interns doing this work, and it's just seems like it's all hands on deck for a sinking ship. You know, there's just it's something that I would definitely steer clear of. For me, I love to shoot zombies because I hate zombies, but they scare the crap out of me. But apparently it doesn't do anything because they just get up and rattle and shake and nothing happens anyways. So yeah, not a game for me.
I would say I'm more hyped for Skull and Bones. Like if I had a choice to play, tomorrow, either of these games, Skull and Bones all day.
Skull and Bones is going to be great for 4 or 5 hours, man. The day world is going to be a disaster.
Careful, they may change the name again.
The name.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. people are going to listen to this episode like 3 weeks later and be like, what the heck is day world?
What's the day world?
Well, did you guys even see what the dispute is over? Do you know what might be taking down the name of this game? It's a calendar app.
Yeah.
Oh, well, gosh.
Which is so funny to think that like this calendar app might force this most anticipated game ever to have to change their name. But oh man, what a mess. If only they filed the paperwork like they were supposed to years ago, it wouldn't have been an issue.
That's what happens when you have interns unpaid.
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing apparently. All right, well, let's go ahead and talk about maybe something we're a little bit more excited about. We wanted to talk about a game that has already released in early access called Sunken Land, which I think is a really cool name, by the way. Day Before is day after. Day After is terrible. Sunken Land is actually pretty cool.
They were going to name it Waterworld, but that name was already taken.
It is Waterworld themed. But Josh, you had shared an article that basically just said that this is Raft meets Rust. Gentlemen, you had my curiosity. Now you have my attention.
All right.
This is a survival crafting game with base building. You are fighting off mutants and pirates. You're doing all the survival stuff, exploring, scavenging, crafting, fighting, all that good stuff. What are your guys' thoughts on Sunken Land?
I mean, out of all of us, I thought Raft was a phenomenal game. Like, I really enjoyed playing Raft. Paul, you and I played it together for a long time, and then I played it with my daughter all over again.
We had a lot of fun.
And honestly, I'd play it again because the game's complete now. We were playing it in early access when they had hardly anything. And so when I see Raft, which is a game that I really enjoy, and then I see Rust, which is a game that we all love and hate, and you're putting them together, that's when I just kind of go, well, what's not to like about this? So I watched the video, and it's Rust with, like, Raft. It's, like, the most apt description. And I love the fact that, you know, it leans into Rust. A lot of the aesthetics are the same with, like, the weird metal rusty walls, and it's, you know, everything looks like it's kind of cobbled together with scrap pieces and stuff like that. You know, I like the fact that there was fighting of NPCs and stuff like that. There's the survival elements. I mean, I didn't really see much that made me go like, I don't really have a lot of interest in this. Like, this game to me looks like it's combining two very good games pretty seamlessly.
Nice.
There's only one major issue though. There's no PvP. So it's co-op multiplayer.
Oh, no.
So it is missing that whole idea of raiding in Rust.
Why just flip the switch. Ruin it? Everybody kill each other. Just flip the switch. That's all they got to do.
I still think it looks super fun. I mean, Raft was just a co-op experience. Raft barely had any fighting, at least back when we played it. I remember we died a couple times fighting a boar.
Yeah. You got to stab the shark and the boar.
Yeah.
I mean, so there was a little bit. I mean, Satisfactory is maybe a decent comp where there's really no PvP in Satisfactory, but it's a co-op survival exploration game, and we love that game. So maybe Valheim. This is in the same vein. Like, I'm down, to be honest. Like, I thought the trailer looked good enough, and it gave me the right vibes that I would 100% be interested in giving this a shot.
PvP or not, I agree with you, Josh. Like, the way the trailer kind of showed everything, man, that kind of survival, the way it looked, you know, these are kind of dime a dozen. It's all, you know, survival games is a survival game. But if we can play together, and it would be nice if we had PvP, but PvE is fine. If it's fun, it's interactive, we have a cool environment, and that's what it looked like it had. So, you know, I'd be down to play with you guys for sure.
Yeah, the reception has seemed to be pretty good. Everyone seems to agree it's still very rough around the edges, but that there's a lot to be excited for. So I'm not going to go out and buy it right now for $20, but if they keep adding more and more to it over time, like in the way Rust did, I'll pick it up down the road, and I would love to play through a campaign like that. There's something to be said for just playing a campaign and finishing the game and moving on to the next one. You know, not every game has to be like live service gaming,
or a game where you can literally lose every ounce of progress you've made after 30
that's
hours.
True too. Yeah. And you know what? Like V Rising tried to have it both ways where there was PvP raiding, but you also don't lose your base. And that felt really unsatisfying as well, because there were really no stakes involved, if you get my pun. V Rising was a little bit of a disappointment overall.
Yeah, it didn't quite land like we were hoping. So yeah, Sunken Land, it's $20. It's early access right now. 77% overall rating out of like almost 5,000 reviews. So it seems like it's got something going for it.
Dang.
And most of the comments say it's not that it's a bad game. It's just I would hold off for now, but it has promise. Yeah. All right, and then to finish out this show, we've got a two-for-one, because these are basically exactly the same story. Bethesda confirmed that Elder Scrolls 6 is in early development.
Oh, right? Why does that excite me more than it should? I may be dead before it releases.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't even really news. Obviously Skyrim... You don't just stop making Elder Scrolls after Skyrim. We all knew it was coming. They announced it in 2018. I guess it's about time that they acknowledge that it's in development. But basically, now that Starfield, which clearly was pulling in most of their resources, now that Starfield is out, a lot of their focus is, going to shift to Elder Scrolls 6. The only thing is, and I hate to throw a bucket of cold water on you here, Ryan, but they say that 2028 is the earliest that this game might come out.
Oh, wait,
that's 5 years down the road.
2028. I got to do math here. It's 2023, 24. How old will our kids be? 26, 27. That's
what'll make you feel
years
old.
From now, Paul.
The math checks out. Yeah, like think about how old like all your kids will be in 5 years.
I'm not worried about me. Am I going to have arthritis by then?
Josh will be using a walker.
Yeah.
You want to know what, though, is that 2028 is when the next gen consoles are supposed to release, which means Elder Scrolls 6 kind of just like punted this entire generation, which is really crazy to think about. And then like the parallel story to this is basically the same with CD Projekt Red. Their focus has been on Phantom Liberty, which comes out here later this month, and they said that they have already put 250 developers on the team for The Witcher 4, and once Phantom Liberty releases, a lot of those people are going to be working on The Witcher. Most people seem to think The Witcher 4 is also probably 5+ years away. Should we even be talking about this, guys? This is ridiculous.
I mean,
it's pain. It's pain.
It's like it's the weirdest news story that's not news. If you make a game that is hailed as one of the best games ever made and you sold, I don't know, 60 million copies of it and made a ton of money off of it, there's no one out there that's going to be like, I think we're good, guys. Don't really want to make any more money. You know, like of course these games are getting sequels. Of course they're getting developed. But at the same time, I'm a fool for it because I hear Elder Scrolls 6 and Witcher 4. I kind of get excited inside, man.
Absolutely. Rightfully so. But man, that's a long time. Like, remember the days when games would come out like 2 years from each other? Yeah. Within a year or two. You know, obviously there's a lot more that goes into a game now than the old days, but man, these 5, 8, 10, 12 year gaps, you know, like when did Elder Scrolls Skyrim release? 2012?
I was gonna guess 2013, but we can
2013, something like that. Like, that's, I mean, how many, that's,
well, didn't they just do the 10-year anniversary?
2011.
Yeah,
2011, yeah. So yeah. Really? It takes that long to make a sequel to the game? Like,
one keg if your other keg's still flowing, man?
Well, like, shoot, they just do like a couple little things. I mean, the modders did all the work for them. They just do a little tweak and then they re-release the game. Oh, updated 11th year anniversary, 12th year anniversary. Here you go. Buy another one.
How many did you buy, Ryan?
Yeah. More than I care to admit.
Exactly.
Oh man, I just, you know, this is like the worst example of the marshmallow test with the kids. Like, you can eat one now, but if you wait 5 minutes, you can have both. This is like,
yeah,
you can't have anything now, and you have to wait 5 or more years to get this. I hate it.
They better be truly next gen. Like, honestly, I'm fine waiting 5 years, right? Because we're gonna be like, guys, I can't believe it's only 6 months away. But it just better be truly next gen level for these games.
Yep.
Yeah. I would like to think when you're dealing with properties, whether it's Grand Theft Auto or Elder Scrolls or, you know, Witcher, it's such a cash cow if you're even just competent. But if you keep it good, like, it's going to make so much more money in the long run. And I think these companies know it. So, yeah, there is a little bit of an element of rushing. I think Starfield, we still see some things that could use some work, like the map system and, you know, some cosmetic bugs.
maps.
But in any case, hey, at least there's a lot of excitement about these games, Ryan in particular. So I think you've got, let's see, 5 years. So you're talking like probably 1700 days minimum until you get to play it, Ryan.
Oh my gosh. My son knows, he's 7 now, but he knows... He knows the Elder Scrolls music. And then, like, it's one of my favorite games ever, the Elder Scrolls series. And then the Witcher series, when I had a knee surgery in 2017, Witcher 3 just came out, and I played that for 1,000,000 hours. I couldn't move. I couldn't walk. It was summer. That's all I did for, like, a month. So I have both of these series are near and dear to my heart. And to think I'm going to have to wait that long, it's gonna suck, but at least I got Starfield, so I'm just gonna buckle down and go into the VR world.
Well, if you're gonna pop any ACLs or anything, try to time it 5 years from now, Ryan, and then you'll have plenty of time to play.
That's the plan. Break a hip, you never know.
There you go. All right, well, that wraps up This Week in Gaming. As a reminder, please hit the follow button so you get all our episodes, and also go check out the Patreon perks and support options at multiplayersquad.com. Thank you so much to everyone out there for listening, and until next time, happy gaming.
See ya.
All right, see everybody.